I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
It was really difficult. This has been a really special place. 6 years here. I know that there's a lot of feelings and emotions right now around. I hope when they settle down that there's an appreciation about what we were able to do here and having, you know, the best run that's ever been done in the history of the school.
Andy Dirt Johnson. Brandon Sprague.
Dante ready for the ball. Got it. Back to throw. Pressure comes, steps up, throws down the middle. It is caught. 45-yard line, 40, down across the 30. May score. 10, 5, touchdown, Oregon.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, welcome back in the second hour. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. The Odyssey app, 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, and, of course, the YouTube, youtube.com/105.1. The Fan, good morning. Happy Monday, everybody. It is the 1st of December.
Holy cow!
I know. You better get that Christmas shopping done. I got a busy-ass week, dude.
You got stuff going on all week.
As soon as the show's done, I got like 9 things I got to get done.
Oh, it's the worst.
But it's a lovely time of year. College football is winding down. That's unfortunate, but we're going to get to conference title games.
Yes,
then we get to the playoff seeding. Then we wait a month. Then we get the first games, and we another month, and we play the second game, we another month.
By the time we get to April, we will crown a national champion.
Crown a title winner.
On 420 this year. How about that?
Hey, that'd be great. We'll kick off the second hour with this. If you miss any of the other hours, by the way, you can always find it online or wherever you get your podcasts. We did a lot of NFL conversation in the first hour because, well, lots happened in the National Football League since we were last on the air.
Yes.
A lot of college football to get into today. Oregon State's hired a new coach.
What?
We'll talk with Bill Ram coming up at 8:15 today for the Daily Ticker, the Oregonian columnist. He'll join us at 8:15. If he is listening, there's a backstory to why we're calling him Bill Ram, and we will not talk about that unless he brings it up.
He's going to ram it.
And so Bill will ram it. You might know him online as Bill Orem, but here on this program, he is Bill Ram. He'll be on at 8:15, so we'll talk about the Oregon State hire. Lane Kiffin just would not go away out of our lives all weekend long, dragging this out during a rivalry game. Big build up. You got to announce it after the game. And then it was like, nah, he's going to announce it in 3 days.
Yep. Team meeting tomorrow at 9 a.m. Wait, no, team meeting tomorrow at 10. Wait, no, team meeting tomorrow at 11. Wait, no, team meeting tomorrow at 1.
Got a text. God's text.
God, just end this, for the love of God.
We got his contract, 7 years, $91 million.
Woo!
We talk about how college football needs private equity, and that's a reason why.
When they fire him in 3 years, and they got to pay him $80 million to not work anymore.
I just.
Because he goes 9-3, 9-3, 9-3, and they turf his ass.
But I want to ask you to start the second hour. Today,
yes,
Andrew.
Ask away, Brandon.
You know, it's Black Friday today. Isn't today like Cyber Monday? Like, it's a big shopping weekend this holiday weekend.
Yes, it is.
Have you purchased your Caucasian Collision Unit t-shirt?
I actually did.
You did?
I saw those and I thought, I need to get my hands on
one.
You
bought one.
And thankfully, Duck fans were smart enough. Like, a bunch of accounts had, like, here's the link. I think it's a Dylan Thieneman thing where he made them and you could go. Or maybe it's his brother. I can't remember.
I think it's him and Betcher, didn't they?
Him and Betcher wore them. I think they said that his brother helped him make it. His brother, Dylan's brother makes t-shirts or something like that. But they put, there's like a Shopify thing. You can go buy them. And I saw that and I thought, I'm getting my hands on
it. So you bought one?
I bought a t-shirt, yeah.
When's it expected to be here?
A couple weeks. It was, I don't think it's a quick shipping. It's not like an not Amazon. Sure. It's not quite Cyber Monday. It might take
a while.
Well, I
think they're printing them out probably as the orders come
in. It might take a while.
They don't have a warehouse.
I'm just hoping it's here in time for the playoff game. That's all I'm hoping because I want to be a part of the Caucasian Collision Committee or unit. What was it?
Yeah. The CCU.
The CCU.
Yeah, the Caucasian Collision Unit.
I would love to be an honorary member of the CCU.
So does Dante Moore. Bryce Betcher says he's going to get Dante Moore.
Yeah, he's
Moore
like, hey, where's my shirt, man? Why can't I get one of these bad boys?
But that was in the post game, and that was a great soundbite from Thieneman and Betcher as Oregon goes up to Seattle and they beat the Huskies 26-14, dominating most of this game. It was 19-7, and then the Huskies on a third down got a touchdown to Denzel Boston that cut it to 19-14.
I think it was a fourth down.
It was a fourth down. Thank you. I'm misremembering the third down play in my mind. But Boston gets the touchdown. What's funny is right before that drive, I text my buddies, a diehard Duck, living with every second of that team, and I go, this game kind of sucks. He goes, speak for yourself. I'm nervous over here.
Well,
and then they score the touchdown. I go, okay, now I got interesting.
Now we got a little something here.
Husky shouldn't have got that last touchdown drive because on the play that was almost the most spectacular catch of college football.
Maybe in football.
What
are
we doing here?
What are we doing?
How do you not overturn that McClellan catch?
For the coolness factor of it.
And they missed the blatant pass interference as the defender had both hands on his off arm grabbing him.
Yes.
Which was why he was forced to try to make a David Tyree catch.
Look at you sounding like a duck honk over there. The officials are out to get us.
He's calling it like he sees it.
No, I was just, because I watched.
Because if you catch that ball, you're over midfield. The game's 19-7.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of time
left.
They're
going to score.
They're going to kick a field goal at least. Like, it just, the game has a very
different
feel. The
game was not as close as that final
score. You know what's
funny? No, it was
not. The Ducks dominated because I taped it and watched it when I got back home. And
we ruined it for you in the group chat at the very end. I apologize about that, but I didn't want to side text it again. Like, we have a lot of side text because you're at a game, not watching a game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? He's not a guy that cares. If it's ruined, he'll go watch it anyway.
No, I was going to watch that from start to finish no matter what. A lot of the other stuff, a lot of the football, I caught highlights and missed and whatever. But that game I went back and watched, and I knew we were going to be talking about it.
Well, it's,
and, yeah.
It's just I have two people in my lives. I have a lot of people in my personal, like, day-to-day lives that are Duck fans. And then on my fantasy team that I'm in with my cousin's a UW guy. That whole fantasy league, I think, is UW guys. Mm. And so, like, I watched that game, and my takeaway is that score doesn't indicate the ass-whooping that I watched. And their takeaway on the other side is that game's closer than the score indicates. And I'm like, it's funny how we can all watch a game and have two completely different
takeaways. You have a slant on
takeaways.
It depending on your fandom. I totally get that.
I don't
that.
Have like, a fandom in that.
I know. No, I'm not saying that you do. I understand why a Husky fan would feel that way. If I were a Husky fan, I'd probably argue that of like, hey, we played pretty bad. It's a one-score game in the fourth quarter. We had a chance to win. I think it's pretty obvious to watch as the game goes. Oregon forced Washington to a three and out. Then they scored on their opening drive and they led the entire game. Like it was for the majority of the game, it was a 2-score game. It took a almost miracle at the end of the first half where I don't know how Damon Williams got rid of that football before he got hit to score that touchdown as kind of time expires. That all of a sudden, all right, now you're a little bit in the game. Oregon comes out, kind of reestablishes a lead. It was a lot of field goals. Credit to Washington's defense. They were outstanding, especially against the run. But as a Duck fan, I understand the feeling of nerves. I get it. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you the entire time, especially when it's a 1-score game and you got a 3rd-and-8 in your own territory right before the Malik Benson touchdown of like, damn, are they going to have to throw an incompletion here and punt the ball back? Like, that was the only moment of the game that I felt slightly uncomfortable because there just wasn't a lot of fear from Washington's offense. And I think that was the storyline of the game going in is what kind of performance are you going to get from the quarterback positions? There was not a doubt in any way, shape, or form, who the better quarterback was on the field the entire game, settling a debate between the two fan bases that has been going on for months. Dante Moore had the better season, and he had a much better game in the rivalry game. I didn't have that fear that they were going to be able to put together multiple drives. And so even when they did put together a drive, it almost took
a break here or there just to get it going. Like, you go back to the drive at the end of the first half that they finally scored the touchdown. Damon Williams should have thrown a ball. Like, it hit Brandon Finney in the hands. He should have thrown a pick on that drive. He got hit as he threw it. It should have been picked. And I think it was Flowers who came in on the deflection that damn near caught the one that you almost had two guys pick the ball off. To Swag's point, you have a penalty here. Like, there was a pass interference penalty on Oregon that extended that drive. So it felt like it took a monumental effort for Washington to mount a scoring drive, whereas Oregon, outside of, you know, Dante missing a throw early and then the one corner blitz that he didn't see coming on a third down that derailed it, outside of that, they moved the ball essentially every time that they touched it the entire game.
Yeah, I think if anything, like, UW's defense, we talked about this a little bit on Wednesday and Tuesday last week, of like, I do think UW's defense is a little underrated.
For sure.
And especially when they play at home. Like, I thought their defense played pretty well. They gave up a couple big plays. Obviously, the Benson 64-yard touchdown catch was the deciding factor and everything. But
that was the backbreaker.
They gave up some big plays once in a while. But for the most part, like, holding Oregon to either punt or field goals, you got to feel great about that.
Yeah, they gave their offense a chance to keep them in the game.
And to your point on Oregon's defense, that was the deciding matchup. It was Oregon's defense against UW's offense. They held UW to 15 of 30 passing for 129 yards. By the way, over the last six games, opponents of Oregon have a 46.2% completion percentage.
Pretty good.
Over the last six games.
Pretty good.
So they're dominating right now in pass coverage. They're getting pressure. They're doing everything you need to. And so I look at that game and I say, yeah, it is a one-score game. It's 19-14. I hear what you're saying. Like, it's 3rd and 8.
That was the only moment in the game that I was like, oh, if they don't pick this, like, that was all of a sudden it kind of dawned on me. Like, if they don't pick this up, this could get interesting. And then they threw a 70-yard touchdown pass.
Totally fair. I think that's fair. If you're a Husky fan listening to this and you're like, oh, yeah, I totally get why you feel that way. I would just counter, as somebody impartial watching that game, I didn't have a fear that UW was going to have another touchdown drive.
I agree with you.
You know what I mean? Like, at best, they'd get in field goal position.
And then DeMond would throw a pick or Jed would do something stupid.
Yeah, like, I didn't have that concern. So even if Oregon doesn't get the Benson touchdown and they win a closer game than the 12 points indicates, I still walk away kind of feeling the same way of, like, that was a dominant defensive performance by Oregon against UW's offense.
It's funny because it's kind of been, and it has made a lot of their games entertaining, so I'll give them credit for that because it keeps you on the edge of your seat. This is kind of who Oregon has been all year. They did this to Penn State. There was the same thing that happened in the Iowa game where you watch, and if you just, like, took the score bug off and you're watching and not really fought, like, you would say Oregon's been the better team the entire game. And then you look up and you're like, wait a minute, how's this a 1%? What? And the Penn State game had to go to overtime. The Iowa game, they needed to drive with 1:51 to go, even though they led the entire game.
Yeah.
And then the Washington game, you lead the entire game. And all of a sudden, it's just kind of who they've been all year. They've had a hard time as a young team putting that kill shot on
the consistency offensively. Of, like,
you just need one more touchdown or one more big play, and then the game is over. Now, eventually, they obviously did it with the long touchdown, and then you get the fourth down stop, and the game is over. But they had ample opportunities in that third quarter to put one touchdown drive together that if they do, then you're like, all right, Washington's not scoring three touchdowns here. This game is absolutely over. But that's kind of who Oregon has been all year.
It wasn't as high scoring, but I texted this to you at the end of the first quarter, and I think I ultimately felt this. It felt very Penn State-y to me.
Yeah.
I was watching a team that was better than the other team.
They're moving it, but field goal. Or moving it, moving it, and then a third down stop.
Score is weird. It doesn't make sense to me because I'm watching one team who is better than the other team, and here we are. It's not that big a gap. Ultimately, they pull away Benson's 64-yard touchdown. Talk about an all-time highlight in that rivalry. Him running between the two defenders with that speed.
Pretty damn good, man. Pretty damn good.
Anytime you can make two DBs hit each other because you're too fast and you go through that gap, I love those kind of highlights.
Look, there's so much more to get into here on my side for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
A testament to their ability to find, develop, and identify talent. Because Malik Benson did nothing at Alabama, and he did next to nothing at Florida
State. He's a retread, yeah.
You go find the tweet that announced his commitment in the transfer portal to Oregon and scroll down in the responses from the fan bases that had watched him play the last 2 years, and it was laughing at Oregon for taking the guy. Even myself, I said, "That Malik Benson, who, what? That's who you're..." He has been a savior for them the last couple of weeks.
Since Moore has gone out with that injury, who, by the way, didn't play again.
Did not play again.
And I've been wondering this because it's a non-contact, but I've been told no big deal, and then every week happens and he doesn't play, and I'm like, maybe this is a bigger deal and they're not telling us?
You got 3 weeks now to find out.
Exactly. Benson has stepped up in a big way, to your point. We have a lot more on this game between Oregon and Washington as Oregon wins 26-14. We roll on the second hour on that game next on 105.1 The Fan.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Durant's break here, 105.1 The Fan. Talking the Oregon-Washington game, 26-14. I didn't see what the over-under number was. I don't follow college numbers as close because I can't bet them.
I don't remember what it was, yeah.
But we both had kind of said probably a little more low scoring, and that's kind of what it was.
The game went exactly how I thought it would.
Same.
Not a lot of thoughts on the show last week because we only had three of them, yeah. So there wasn't a ton of time, but I think you and I were both in agreement. It's going to be lower scoring than people think, and it, you know, a little bit more defensively. Washington had been good defensively all year. You look even the Ohio State game. The final of that game was 24-6. It was very similar. They just had one more touchdown late in this game, or the one at the end of the half.
It was 6-0 at half, right?
6-0 at the half, or 6-3 at the half. I can't remember, but it was kind of like that's who Washington's been all year. They've been in these kind of ugly games, and their offense, when they play elite defenses, disappears. Mainly their passing game. And Damon Williams had a really rough day.
He did. He was 15-30 again for 129.
It's his lowest completion percentage of the year. It's the only time all year he's been below 60%, and it's his lowest. They played a game against Wisconsin and scored 10 points and lost in the snow. He had more passing yards against Wisconsin in that game than he had against Oregon on Saturday.
Yeah, the story for UW was Adam Muhammad. He was awesome in that game.
Yeah.
He was kind of their only offense for the most part. He had 105 yards on the ground and a 7.5 yard average. Oregon's rush was not as potent as it has been in weeks past, but they still broke the 100 yard barrier. Now, that is including the sack stuff, but
Washington was outstanding against the run, man.
They were
phenomenal.
They geared up for it.
They loaded the box and said, we will dare you to beat us with anybody other than running the football and Kenyon Sadiq, because there were a lot of pass plays where Kenyon Sadiq was bracketed and double covered. They left McClellan one-on-one a million times. They left Benson one-on-one from time to time, and Oregon hit a lot of deep. McClellan and Benson had phenomenal games, and that was a catch against his helmet.
What I find interesting, because Oregon's not going to play now for, what'd you say, 3 weeks, right?
Either the 19th or the 20th there will be the first round of the playoff game.
So it's going to be a little bit of a layoff, which I bet Dan Lanning and company are ecstatic about. This is what I wonder. Oregon's defense is clearly an elite unit. Their offense has moments of looking elite. They also have moments of looking clunky and inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you have to deal with the report out that both your coordinators are going to become head coaches.
They might, yeah.
There's a report now. We said this Wednesday. I thought it was a done deal that Golish was going to Arkansas, because like 8 Arkansas accounts were like, he's taking the job. And then I was stunned to learn on Sunday or Saturday night, it said Alex Golish named Auburn coach. I'm like, what?
What happened there?
So nothing is until we see it concrete from a Nakos, a Thamel, a McMurphy, whoever, I don't know, but the report out is that LaPoy is going to Cal,
and Stein is going to take Kentucky because Kentucky fired Stoops.
Yes, they did.
Now, it's not that you can't have coordinators take jobs and still be great and go still win the whole enchilada, but you have to kind of wonder a little bit about now they're trying to prepare for taking their next gig, but my only concern on the Oregon front would be the consistency of the offense. Can you put it together consistently in a game? Washington played well defensively to their credit, but if you're playing a top-level opponent that you're going to probably face in the playoffs, mm-hmm. does that offensive performance railroad you out of winning a playoff game? I know the defense can live up to its part. Is mm-hmm. the offense going to be more consistent?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a big question about them. I'm incredibly confident because their ability to win games in different ways. And they've won games against Iowa where it's raining and you can't throw the football and we're going to have to run it over and over and over again, and they ran it for 250 yards on the road. And then you play a team like Washington who's been good defensively this year. They load the box. There were a lot of plays. Like I understand that fans wanted them to run the ball more because you thought the matchup advantage coming in was Oregon's ability to run the football. But you're not just going to like mindlessly run it into a 10-man box. That doesn't make a lot of sense. The matchup advantages for Oregon in those situations is one-on-one on the outside. And I almost felt like the final score for Oregon was a little misleading on how their offense played. Dante missed the throw on the third down early. He had De'Aaron Hill going across the middle, and he threw it a little bit behind him, a little late. For whatever reason, he missed that throw. He had the moment where he didn't see the corner coming and got the sack, and he was lucky to hold on to that football. Outside of that, man, like on the opening drive of the game, he hit Malik Benson in the hands inside the five-yard line.
Oh, yeah.
If he catches that, you score a touchdown on your opening drive. There was a play where they had to kick a field goal in the second half on a 2nd and 17 that he hit Kenyon Sadiq along the sidelines in the hands,
dropped
and he didn't
it.
Catch it. So it's like they were that if he makes a throw to De'Aaron Hill and those two balls are caught, I think you score 35 points in this game.
Sure.
And you're not saying anything concerning about the offense. I think the biggest thing for them come playoff time, now maybe not in the first round, depending on how the brackets and the matchup shake out, I think you can beat whoever the hell you're going to play in the first. If you're the 5 or 6 seed, I think you're winning that game. And you
if
know,
you're
no matter
the 5
who's
seed,
available,
you're cleaning house in
right?
that first game.
But if you're not, let's say you slip to 7 or looking forward in the playoffs, then yeah, I think it's a big part of it will be getting healthy at the wide receiver position and having guys that teams feel like they have to game plan against. But I'm not that concerned about them offensively right now. I don't know if they're good enough to win a national title, if that's the barometer you're asking them to reach.
That's kind of what I'm asking.
I don't
you,
know like, if they're – I have no idea.
Because you posted a poll question of how far they go. And look, this is opponent-driven, right?
Sure.
We don't know.
Are they the 7 seed playing Alabama in round one, or are they the 5 seed playing North Texas in round one?
Right.
Or the 6 seed playing Virginia in round one, right? Like, it's going to change things a lot. But I thought the game – was summed up in this way. Oregon came in, and I think the last 2 weeks their defensive game plan has been very solid of, we want to take something away from you. We will allow you to do something, but we want to take something away from you. Against USC, it was their ability to run the football. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know what? You're going to hit your shots downfield. You got great wide receivers. You got good quarterback. Even if we play a dime the entire game, you're going to hit your shots down the field. You know what we're not going to let you do? We're not going to let you be balanced and run the ball. And they completely shut down USC's ability to run the ball. When they hit big plays, they scored. When they didn't, it was a turnover or a 3-and-out. Oregon won the game by 15. This week, if you go back and watch the number of times Oregon had like 4 guys in the box and just said, we're going to, we dare you to run the ball on every play. We know Jed Fish's identity. We know what he's going to eventually try and do. He's got this quarterback that he's trying to turn into a program-defining player, and he can't help himself. And how many times did they run, and then it's 1st and 10, what does Jed Fish do?
Pass.
Let's throw it into a 5 guys in the secondary with Kennedy making an unbelievable interception in the end zone. They did not allow Washington to hit explosive plays in the passing game at all, and that has been a huge part of their offense at times this year. DeMond scrambling around, extending a play, and either him taking off and gaining 30 or 40 yards or hitting somebody down the field. And so I thought it was an example of a defense that said, we feel like we can take something away and then you can't beat us. And what happened? They took it away and Washington couldn't score that many points. Washington took away Oregon's ability to run the football in this game. They were phenomenal on the front. They loaded the box. And what did Oregon do? They responded by McClellan having a massive game, Benson having a massive game. Jamari Johnson one-on-one had a big catch along the sideline. I thought Dante Moore was outstanding, and that was ultimately the difference, is Oregon has a changeup that they could go to, and Washington didn't.
I think that's the other part of this, is like you talk about Malik Benson and resurrecting a career that has not really gone the way he wanted to, and he's been playing well. I'd throw in the conversation. His numbers don't necessarily bear it out, but McClellan feels like a real dude out there when they don't have a DeCorey Moore.
It's a redshirt freshman and the number 4 or 5 wide receiver coming into the year on the depth chart.
And to your point of how they win games, they can win games in multiple ways. You know, I heard Schulte and Fish were doing the post game, and I caught a bit of that. And Schulte's like, they finally look like a Big Ten team. And I don't agree with that. And I tell you, I know what he means by it. I totally see why you say it. They're in that conference. They just look like an upper echelon team. Ohio State, right? How many Big Ten teams are there? It's like 18 of these things.
Yeah.
Most of those teams are not Big Ten teams. You're talking about top level college football.
Yeah.
Oh, it's snowing? Cool. A punch in the mouth. We'll win a rock.
We'll
fight.
Run the ball. Yeah.
Oh, it's perfect weather. We'll air it out.
Sling
and
around.
Yeah. We'll put the ball down the field. Like, they're just one of those teams. The depth they've built up. You talk about defense. What Washington and Bear Alexander have done of clogging the middle. And Tuioti's had a great year. I feel like Mateo's really come on the last few weeks for them as well. Like, you're hearing his name more and more.
Yeah, how about Nasir Wyatt, the true freshman with a sack early in the game?
I just think what they're doing up front right now, it's absolutely dominant. And I hear everything you're saying offensively. I mean, I guess just more capitalizing on those drives, not having
to
settle for field goals. But to your point,
it might be the difference in between them winning or losing a title game. I'm fascinated to see how the weekend goes and how the playoff begins and where they're bracketed and all of that. I think they're going to win a national title this year? I probably wouldn't bet on it, but I also think every team has a little bit of a flaw, and some teams haven't been tested that much, and so a lot of it will depend on, as we saw last year, where do you end up, who do you play, when do you play them, and it's becoming more of an NFL playoff style like that of, do I have to play them in the divisional round, or do I get to play them in the NFC title game, and they're a little banged up when they get there? A lot of it depends on that.
No doubt. I don't know where you're at, and we could talk about this element of it, because they beat Washington. They physically beat them up, and they win 26-14.
How many in a row are they going to win? Said it last year. Wasn't a question of if. Just how many?
I kind of poked the bear in the fantasy chat, and I said, this is supposed to be Oregon's build year.
Yeah, next year's our year. Good luck next year. Good luck. Your 5'4" quarterback, I'm sure, is going to progress greatly and win in Autzen Stadium. Can't see over the line of scrimmage, man. I mean, feel bad.
Can.
As a short, I feel bad.
Yeah, he had to scramble out of that pocket every time to make
those
throws.
There's a Washington angle of this of, like, if I told you 8-4 at the start of the year, you take it. You run with it. 100%. You say, that's great.
Yeah.
I also felt like their quarterback regressed as the year went on. And
he was a
big part of their optimism coming into the year.
Sure.
He looked lost on Saturday.
Well, that's an Oregon problem.
Sure,
let's be
Oregon's
fair,
got a good defense.
Right?
Yeah.
The second thing is 8-4 is still, to me, a good year. I still think Husky fans should be happy about that, but you need to ask yourself, and I would ask myself if I was a Huskies fan, how much better can we get, though?
With him at quarterback.
And that's kind of what I would be wondering, but you can't punt on him because he's a sophomore. So,
like, no, you're not moving on. I'm not saying move on from him, but that's... There are weaknesses there that have been 100%. Showcased against elite defenses specifically.
I can ask you this going into it, because we could talk about it on the other side. Like, there's chaos looming in college football with the playoff.
Yes, there is.
I don't think Oregon is in the top four running, and I might be wrong on that to you, but I do think the committee, if certain things happen, I think the committee is going to give Oregon something that they should have given them last year. We'll
something
talk about
they deserve.
That. Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that coming up next, but... We haven't gotten Lane Kiffin yet, and then we haven't talked Oregon State hiring Jamarcus Shepherd.
You guys got a new coach, man.
A flock leader.
See, one of the first people to dap him up on the sideline after that announcement was our buddy Josh Pate, Pate State material.
He was getting handsy with receivers pregame.
He was.
He's a physical coach.
You want a coach to be physical.
Also,
get handsy with me.
Our athletic director said, you don't need a general manager. It's not important to do it. I'll just do it myself. And then he hired a guy who was like, I'm bringing a general manager.
Yeah. If you want me to take this job, we are going to have a general manager. So
I've been asked by a lot of people how I feel about the hire. And I'm like, well, I mean, nobody really knows who's going to be successful in these jobs. I like him. He seems like a good candidate. He's youngerish. He's hungry. I think he's going to be a psychopath about getting talent in there.
Yeah.
You're going to a lower conference in general, like, should be a quicker turnaround.
North Texas might make the college football playoff this year.
100%.
Like, you are going to have that pathway starting next year.
But I worry, can he win in spite of the administration?
It's a big question.
That is my, like, if he wins, I'm not going to sit here and gloat and be like, good job, Bart. Like, cool, dude. You hired one of the more obvious guys to hire.
I'm going to give the committee credit.
I had a Husky fan reach out and tell me how pissed he was that he got hired because they wanted him in case
Fish left.
They wanted
him to come back, yeah, in case Fish bolts for Florida.
So, like,
you want to hire him?
It wasn't like he was some off-the-beaten-path name that only Scott Barnes could do.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm rooting for that guy. I want him to win. I just love that he brought a general manager after being told that general managers are important. Like, yeah, they actually are, man. Follow college football.
Yes, they are. I mean, I would use the Oregon game as a prime example of that. Their ability to identify. Now, the talent pools are going to be different, right? But to the point I was making, Malik Benson was not a, oh my God, that's the number one wide receiver in the transfer portal. It was a gamble, and it's paid off. How about Jaden Kennedy, who's been unbelievable? Go look at what Ole Miss fans said when he left Ole Miss last year. Oh, this guy's a walking DPI. He's not going to be any good. He was outstanding. He had the pick in the end zone.
Can we not pick on Ole Miss fans today?
I mean, yeah, it's true. I probably shouldn't. But the point being that you can, like, finding talent and identifying guys that you feel like, it's no different than in the NFL drafting a guy in the fifth round that turns out to be, why weren't they taken in the first four rounds? Like, there's a skill and an art to that, and who can identify talent and get the most out of their players, and that's what you need to do as a program.
So, I teased this going into the commercial break. Oregon wins at Washington, and right now, going into the next playoff, they sit at six from last week's rankings.
Yes, they do.
Now, you had A&M lose. They finally lost their first game this year.
Yeah.
I had to listen to Sarkisian on the broadcast tell me why the three-loss Texas should get it because their resume is great. Like, okay.
I know.
All right.
I know.
But I'm sure we're going to be there. But now I look
Texas
at this.
Texas is not making the playoff. It's not going to.
No.
Literally will not. There's zero chance that happens.
But you know that there's going to be.
Oh, the people will argue for it, sure. There is zero world that exists that Texas is a playoff team.
I don't look at the standings as they are or going to be tomorrow. We'll have to wait and see where A&M falls.
That's the big question.
Yeah, but it kind of is a question, but it's not a question. I don't think Oregon can get into the top four, and I'm wrong on this. But I don't think that they can. They're not going to be in the Big Ten title game, and I don't think either Ohio State or Indiana is going to get punished much for losing that game.
No, nor should they.
And Texas is five. They were ahead of Oregon going in. They're in the Big 12 title game, and if they beat BYU, which I expect them to do,
yeah, they're not moving.
They're not going to move. So what I wonder here is Georgia-Bama is interesting because Bama beat Georgia, but Georgia's playing good football right now. Bama losing in the SEC title game, I think, is going to give us our first three-loss playoff team.
Give me a second.
Because you have to look at it from the committee's
fairly confident
vantage point.
Yes, you do.
Because they're going to want Alabama in, and Bama's third loss is going to be in the SEC title game, so they're going to get out of the playoff because of that. Then Bama's going to come out and say, we're never playing in the title game again.
True. Yeah. For a second, I thought SMU maybe was a three-loss team last year with the conference title game, but they were not.
No,
they're
Clemson
11-1.
Was the three-loss team in was the conference title game.
So Clemson was the first three-loss playoff team
because
they made
right.
it
Thank
last
you.
Year.
Thank
I thought
you for
there was
correction.
One from the ACC, and it was Clemson.
No, I appreciate that. But Bama, I think, is going to make it regardless.
And they should. You shouldn't be punished for having to play an extra game that is a reward.
I tend to agree with that. But I think the committee could be looking at Oregon depending on how certain teams play. And I think there's a real chance here, Dirt, that Oregon could be given the bit of a, sorry, this was so wrong last year.
Oopsies.
Here's your 5 seed against a 12 seed Patsy that you'll smoke at home.
Welcome to Autzen, North Texas.
Yeah.
Good luck in the middle of December.
Right.
Your passing offense, it might be snowing in this game.
Is there a big group of 6 team that would scare you?
No, there's not.
Not any.
Famous
right?
last words, maybe you lose to them, but no. Oregon will be a 20-point favorite over Tulane or North Texas. All these teams, by the way, the North Texas coach is leaving. Tulane's coach is leaving.
Yeah.
James Madison's coach is a candidate, but he hasn't been hired yet, but he's a prime candidate at multiple spots.
Any
the way you see
Penn
on that.
Penn State hasn't hired
Penn State's
anybody?
A funky situation right now. I don't know what's going on there. There's people behind the scenes that are saying there's some big grand scheme at play, and other people saying they don't have any clue what the hell they're doing, and it's an absolute mess right now.
So I like to believe that, actually, that element.
I tend to lean there, right? And I got some nuggets on that, actually, whenever we get to the coaching carousel. I think the big questions for tomorrow will be, because now is when the rankings start to matter. Like, in the last handful of weeks, whatever, it's not that big of a deal. We yell about it. It's just fun entertainment. Are you ranked ahead of Texas A&M? If you were a committee member, would you rank Oregon ahead of Texas A&M? Their win at Notre Dame is better than any win that Oregon has. The overall resume, I would argue, is better for Oregon. Right? They're lost.
You think Oregon's resume is better than A&M's?
I think from top to bottom, it absolutely
is. Let me
go
through this real quick.
What are Texas? Go through like the three most impressive. How many times has Oregon
trailed? Missouri and Notre Dame are their best wins. Everybody else.
You know how many? I'm glad you said that.
Okay.
Do you know how many teams with a winning record Missouri has beaten this year?
None.
Zero.
The answer is zero.
He got an extension.
Missouri
too.
Does not have a win over a team with a winning record this year.
Here's a 10-year extension, Drew.
I'm going to say that again. Missouri does not have a win with a team A win over a team with a winning record.
I would
this
put
year.
Oregon over Texas A&M.
They also have not trailed by 30 points at halftime in their own stadium to a dog-ass team.
South Carolina's bad.
Like, that has to be a part of your resume,
I think it's fair. Your resume for a while was not better, but I think to your point, looking through the whole resume and the way it's shaken out.
In the last month and beating Iowa and USC and Washington.
Your justification for being in the playoff can't be one game.
No.
And one game the third week of the season, by the way.
Yeah, and it was a great win. That's a better win than Oregon has on their resume. I'll give them that.
But A&M and Miami holding on to that Notre Dame win for dear life.
Yes, they are. Notre and Miami saying, wait a minute, I thought head-to-head was all that mattered here. But I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. If they're ranked ahead of Texas A&M, they're set. Their life is set in gold. If they're still behind A&M, then it becomes a concern. Not a concern, but you're not quite in the dream world that you're living in. Because to your point, right now, or going into last week, you were sixth. I don't think you're going to jump Texas Tech, but maybe I'm wrong there. If Texas Tech wins the Big 12, they'll be ahead of you.
I think so, yes.
Georgia, win or lose the SEC title game, I think stays ahead of you, and I don't have an issue with that. They're 11-1. That's a hell of a season. You shouldn't be punished for Oregon doesn't get the chance to play an extra game because they lost to Indiana. You shouldn't be punished for losing that game. I'm universal in that opinion. A&M is the big one to circle. If they're ranked behind A&M, I think you're more likely looking at the potential of being the 7 or 8 seed instead of the 5 or 6 seed, because the other scenario I'll throw at you is, what if Alabama beats Georgia again?
I know.
Does Alabama jump Oregon in the rankings?
Yeah, I think they do, because they have won the SEC title and they beat Georgia twice.
Twice.
Which three times in a row in the last 2 years.
And the Florida State loss is bad, but those are just so.
I know.
There's a lot up in the air right now, but what I will say is,
what do you do with so Oregon just doesn't move then? In that scenario.
They could slide down to 7.
You're not. Why are
no,
you
not
sliding?
For tomorrow. Not for tomorrow. No. That was in the scenario of Alabama. Not for tomorrow. The only thing to keep an eye on for Oregon tomorrow is, do they jump up a spot?
Sure.
Do they jump Texas A&M? If they do, then you're looking very pretty at a 5 or 6 seed and playing either the Group of 5 in round 1 at home or the ACC champ at home, if the ACC champ is Virginia and they get in.
You know who's pissed off is the committee is pissed at Oklahoma. But they're really pissed at Bama, because Bama shouldn't have lost that game by the stats.
Oklahoma does not belong in the college
football playoffs. Oklahoma has been the most fraudulent 2-loss team all year. They barely are winning every game they play.
Their offense is terrible.
It's not good. And they're still here. They can't get rid of them.
They can't.
It's done.
Because they're 10-2. They're in.
Oh, my God.
They're in. The fun game to start playing.
Let's play the fun game on the other side. We're against it. I want to make sure we get back to the third hour. We got Bill Ram coming up, 8:15 ticker. A lot to talk about locally with him. What is the fun scenario for you? Because I find this all chaotic, and I think it's going to lead to maybe the best thing for the sport. And then we'll get to Lane Kiffin. We'll get to the Oregon State hire. A lot more. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. We have a lot to get to in the third hour. Should Ole Miss have let Lane Kiffin coach out the rest of the season? You laugh about that. Somebody's paid millions of dollars to be on National College Game Day and said, yeah, you should. Stop being butthurt. Get over it.
It couldn't possibly be somebody who's tied in with a television contract with the SEC, right? And one of the teams that's in the college football playoff from the SEC is Ole Miss, right? That couldn't be the case.
See, I wouldn't even argue the TV contract conspiracy. I'd go a little closer to home on that. You know who shares the same agent? Jimmy Sexton clients.
Are we ready for the world that they leave Ole Miss out of the playoff? Because I think there's a possibility that happens.
It's wrong.
It is wrong. No, I'm not saying like, it's
fundamentally,
right.
It's not.
I'm not disagreeing.
They named the coach.
You.
Pete Golding's the coach. The players swear by him.
He is.
By the way, kudos to him. I don't know if Pete Golding's good at all. I didn't even know his name, really, to be honest with you. But like,
no, and their defense is not the reason they're winning games. Their defense has been pretty ass all year.
But the players are liking him. And, dude, this process sucks to go through. So just
horrible.
Keep a guy that – keep and maybe he'll be good next year. Who knows? I have no clue.
TBD.
So we get to Lane Kiffin stuff. We'll talk Oregon State. They named their new head coach after we signed off on Wednesday. Not Brent Vegan.
No.
Though I did have like a 20-minute panic attack of, did an FCS coach choose to say no to us in order to sign an extension?
It appeared that might have happened. But also in negotiations.
But maybe he knew Shepherd was going, so right. He got an extension out of the deal.
How much of it is leveraged by the coaches in their own sport to get more money?
They would tell you that we were going Shepherd the whole way.
Yes.
And Vegan will never say anything.
Nope.
So we'll never really know
you
that.
You never know the answer to that.
But the college football playoffs, so you said the wild scenarios. There's a lot of scenarios looming here with the ranking coming out tomorrow and then conference title games at play.
I want you to contemplate this for a moment. It's a 12-team playoff, right? Start counting the locks as of right now, okay? Ohio State, locked to get in.
Correct.
Indiana, locked to get in.
Yes.
Texas A&M, locked to get in. Texas Tech, I think win or lose conference title game, it's a lock to get
Oregon.
In.
Oregon.
Georgia, Oregon, now we're up to six. Okay?
See, I think Ole Miss is in.
I agree with you. I'm just saying I wouldn't put... They've left Florida State out with a quarterback injury. And this is the
same...
It's
a little different, though, isn't it?
Are we sure? The offense is what carries that team, and they just lost their head coach and their offensive coordinator.
I know.
So are we sure they're
all... Like,
he took everybody with them. Who's calling plays?
Pete Golding's guy.
He's the team coordinator.
Like, I don't know. Some 20-year-old?
Anyways, I agree that they should be in. I'm just saying
Let
I wouldn't put anything
call
past
plays.
Them. Just call them on the field. If Ole Miss is in, that's seven, okay?
And Oklahoma.
In Oklahoma, that makes eight.
Yeah.
That's not counting the group of six champ.
Boom. Nine.
Now we're to nine. That leaves three potential spots left. That's not even counting the ACC champ, which is likely, and if it's Virginia, if Duke wins, they're out. But let's just say in this scenario, Virginia wins that, okay?
Okay.
Virginia wins the ACC. That's 10 teams.
That's a fair assumption, by the way, that you're counting an ACC team as the winner already.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know. But even if they don't, guess what? The other spot will go to another group of six team. It will be the American champ and James Madison. So that's still either way 10 teams. You know what that leaves you? That leaves you two at-large spots. You know who I have not mentioned yet?
Did you not count Bama?
I didn't count Bama.
See, I think Bama's a lock.
Okay, then fine. There's 11. Yeah. Now there's one spot left. Who does it go to?
Notre Dame.
Over Miami? Over Vanderbilt?
Mm-hmm.
Over BYU? What if BYU wins the Big 12 title game?
They're out.
What if they win the Big 12 title?
Oh.
They're automatically in. You're not bumping Texas Tech out. Then the playoff's done. Miami doesn't make it. Notre Dame doesn't make it. Vanderbilt doesn't.
Out.
You're going to drop them from five to out for losing a bonus game? You can't do it.
Yeah, you can.
You can't do it.
They do whatever they want.
I'm just saying, like, we're going to have... This is the whole point about Texas. Should be Texas has zero chance of making the playoff. Because you just look at the way to get there, there's no chance they make it.
There's only one three-loss scenario team in play, and
it's Alabama.
Think they're a lock. And I do. I think Bama's a lock.
And I would argue they should be 10-2 in the SEC. They are technically the number one seed in the SEC over Georgia because of the head...
They only have one conference loss.
Only one conference loss. Like,
yeah,
it's a game that they dominated but turned the ball over.
They're
it wasn't
such a
like
weird team, dude. When Bama plays a big, really good team,
mm-hmm.
and I don't mean any disrespect to the old Iron Bowl here, but when they play a really good team, like I think Georgia's going to get them, but Georgia has a Bama problem.
They do.
They get up and they play exceptionally well, and you go, God, it's humming like it did with Saban.
Looks great.
And then they play these...
South Carolina.
Auburn, South Auburn, Carolinas. Yeah. And you're like, why are you in a dogfight? They were 17-0 in that game.
Yes, it was.
Why was that a tie game?
Game's over. First half's over.
Why is What is it, Ashton Daniels? Yeah. Why is that Daniels kid scored 20 unanswered on you? It made no sense at all. I'm watching. I'm like, why am I watching this game still?
They also went for it on fourth down when they could have kicked a field goal to take the lead, and they decided to not do that. And if they don't get that,
I thought that was
Auburn's dead in field goal range at the end of the game.
Such a ballsy call.
I love Washington people looking at that from afar, like Jerry Falwell in the corner. Oh, I remember when he did that in the Apple Cup. He's not coming home, buddy. Not coming home.
Coming home.
Keep watching from afar, though.
Yeah, it's all crazy.
I'm just saying, like, we're going to debate a lot about
four pissed off fan
bases. I think there's 10 to 11 locks right now for the college football playoff, is my point. And then it might come down to Miami has to, like, Miami Notre Dame head to head. Like,
I think Miami's out.
BYU is a one loss team. They're 11 and 1. I know.
And fair thing to throw over at
some point. Neither is Notre Dame.
Oh, well, they don't have a conference. Their conference title game was last week.
Yeah.
Stanford.
Vanderbilt's 10 and 2 in the SEC.
Yeah, but you know my stance on Vandy. I know we kind of disagree on Vandy. They've earned it, but I don't think they're going to get in. They're Vandy. They're not looked at quite as the same as the other SEC teams.
They beat Tennessee this weekend. You know how many wins over a team with a winning record Tennessee has this year?
Are you going to give me the zero?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good win, too, because they responded. They were down, and then they just bludgeoned
them. It's a quality win. Tennessee has not beaten a team with a winning record all year.
Something to kind of hold over is, should the ACC have gotten in front of railroading itself by having a Miami in the title game? I think it's a fair conversation to have given the nature of that conference. But let's get to the third hour. Oregon State's made a new hire. We'll talk with Bill Ram. Bill Orm, as you know him online, at 8:15 for the ticker. Third hour, Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.